Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge, and this is the podcast where I review every science fiction book that I read as I read it, and then I stick it up online for you guys to listen to. Guys meaning guys and girls, of course. So if you need to know anything more about the podcast or want to know anything more about it or how to subscribe and all that kind of stuff, just check out sfbrp.com and just check out the very first episode. I go into a lot more details about everything that we get on with here. So first of all, let's just get straight into the review. I've got another few things to say at the end of the podcast. The review that I'm going to do now is of a book from 2005. It's called Learning the World. By Ken MacLeod, and it says on the front cover, a novel of first contact, which is pretty much wraps up this book very, very neatly into a very easy package, first contact novel. So let's just do the setup. What's happened is that it's set, of course, hundreds, maybe thousands of years in the future, humans' future, that is, and the humans have colonized lots of stars around the solar system, not just the solar system, but all the stars around there too. And they don't just settle on planets, but what they do is they find every bit of rock and every scrap of material, everything that they can possibly find, and settle on them as well, make bubbles out of atmosphere and tents around them and stuff, and fill them up with plants, so much so that the light shining from one of these stars is green coloured, which comes in very important in the book later on. So the book pretty much follows one of the ships that goes off to settle a new solar system, a new star system, away from this sort of core group of stars, of course with the solar system as we know it, with our sun at the centre. Unknown to the colonists on board the big spaceship, the solar system that they're going towards has a planet called Ground by the people who live there, and of course people live there, the alien race that live there, because of course it's a first contact novel, so you need some interesting aliens, and the interesting aliens are quite interesting. They're these sort of flying bat kind of mammal kind of creatures, and they're slowly emerging, or actually quite quickly emerging into an industrial society. So they've got steam power down, okay, they're working on them on diesel and petrol engines, and they're getting television and electronics and radio and other things like that. Pretty much like early 20th century kind of standards of technology. So what happens is, at the beginning of the book, the humans pick up a radio signal from the aliens, and the aliens spot the colony ship coming in. First of all, they think it's a comet, but then it sort of slows down and enters into a steady orbit around the sun. So they're both aware of each other, but they don't really know very much about each other, because there's not a lot at first that the colonists can see of the aliens, and there's very, very little that the aliens can see of this spaceship coming in. Of course, they don't even really know that it exists or not until they get a bigger sign. So that's the setup of the book. Next thing I'd like to talk about really is the style of writing, before I get onto anything else, because it's got an interesting idea that I've not really seen before in a novel, and that's because one of the characters on the colony ship, she writes a blog, pretty much a blog, like online. Of course, the internet isn't quite the same as the internet these days, but the blog is pretty much exactly the same, because the book opens up with saying, this is the first entry, nobody's going to read it, and then, is anybody reading? Or, oh, thanks for all your comments, and it's great, lots of people, and as it goes through, she obviously gets more and more readers, and that plays into the story in different ways as well. Of course, I've seen diaries included in lots of books, like diary entries, but diaries are always written so there's no audience in mind. They're written to myself, obviously, or more often they're written to the person who's writing the diary. And this book, of course, because it's a blog instead of a diary, it's written very much with an audience in mind. A fictional audience in mind, but one that's quite, you know, that sort of approach is slightly... you know, it's unique, let me put it that way. I've not seen it before in a book. The aliens themselves are pretty good, but I've seen a lot better, especially after the fantastic work of Werner Vinge. Again, I did his ex-wife's book earlier on. I'm definitely going to do a book of his in a few weeks' time, or when I read the book. I've got a new book by him called The Peace War. Anyway, Werner Vinge, he does some fantastic first contact novels, and the aliens in this book don't stand up to what I expect now from a first contact. I want the aliens to be as well realised and the society as to be that unique and that interesting. And the society that they live in is quite unique, but at first, when you start reading it, because everything is written from the point of view, or it's written as though everything that the alien sees is typical and is usual, so it just says that they're talking to each other, and if it didn't say, oh, they've got bat wings and they're flying, you wouldn't notice it. You know, you wouldn't notice anything wrong, because they don't see anything wrong. And because it's in this sort of very tight first person, no, very tight third person narrative, but so tight that, you know, when if a character doesn't notice it, it's not written. So that's a very strange thing indeed. And of course, the society, it's quite interesting as well. There's these two large islands, and there's a war between these two alien, well, it's the same race, but these two nations. And the arms race is the main thing that's, you know, it's the main driving force behind the quickly advancing technology that they're developing there. So, like I say, they're working on television and stuff. Ironically, for a flying creature, they're sort of bat creatures that fly, the biggest challenge that they have, or one of the biggest challenges, is powered flight. They can't work out how to make for flying machine a powered flying machine, which I thought was quite interesting. The alien characters, there's Darwin and his friend Oro, they're working at that problem, you know, powered flight, right at the beginning of the book. As time progresses, they of course soon get distracted by the lights in the sky and the aliens that are coming in, that they believe is coming in, but they can't convince anything. The names of the aliens are pretty fun, but the names of the humans actually are far more alien. They're just bonkers. The main character, or two of the main characters, is Atomic Discourse Gale, and a main male character is Horrocks Mathematical. And the starship that we're on is called But the Sky, My Lady, the Sky. I mean, it's a very, very strange names there. And of course, this is another interesting part of the book, is that the aliens are written in a more human way. You can identify with the aliens more than you can identify with the humans. The humans have lived for hundreds of years in space. They've got computers in their brains. It's a utopian society. They plan for thousands of years in advance, because that's how long they know they're going to live. And, you know, everything is set for them and everything's really easy. The aliens, on the other hand, they're working on problems that, you know, we've just encountered in on Earth, you know, in the real world, and that we're still trying to deal with today, like war and like a Cold War as well. And they're trying to have babies, of course, and they're trying to work out how much time they want to spend with the family. And there's whole patriotism issues and nationality and trying to keep the job and studying at school and slavery and, you know, big issues as long like along with mundane issues as well that we sort of have to deal with here. So that's one of the another real key thing to it. Again, let me just see further in my notes here. Yeah, like I say, the humanness of the aliens is actually one of the down points. I think they're a bit too human, but as you go through, you find out more and more about them, and then some of the reactions to different situations, you think, well, why do they do that? And then it explains in a different way, like, you know, they fly most places, so the ground is always covered in guano, I guess, and there's different things like this, and you work out that actually, yeah, these strange reactions, even though they're portrayed as completely normal, they're strange because, you know, they are aliens, and there are these things there, but I just find them a bit too human, just a bit. It's like two people, you know, they're talking to each other, and it might as well just be two friends chatting about different stuff there. And of course, the more you read it, the more human the humans become as well, because they start off really alien. And so you sort of see them, all the political decision-making and things like that. It's a super-advanced spaceship, but you realise that the ways that they make decision is still just as human and as fallible and as petty, and the motives are all the same, no matter that the computer, you know, that they communicate by computer. What else have I got here? The ideas behind the societies, they're quite well realised, but, you know, I didn't really get the characters. Like I say, the motivations are explained, but, you know, other times things happen and you're just left wondering why. The plot itself is very simplistic as well. That's another thing. There's some twists along the way, but I never really think. It's like there's this whole big thing about, like, the aliens are at war and they become more peaceful, and the humans are peaceful and they become more antagonistic towards each other and more, you know, there's more conflict on the spaceship. And I didn't understand that. There's no point, you know. Humans must have been in that situations before. There must have been ways to sort that situation out. And I just didn't believe quite a bit of the setups and the motivations behind people. So finally, I actually picked out this one huge thing right in, you know, the last few pages of the book. That has the great cosmological idea, and of course that's in capitals. I've talked about it in previous reviews about previous books. You know, there's that one question that's answered, or that one sort of idea that's put out at the end of the book that makes you look at the world in a different way. And of course it always explains a major plot hole as well, which has been nagging you throughout the book. Well, in this book I just kept thinking, you know, there's this big point. How likely is it that two species reach pretty much the same point in their evolution at the same time, and the societies reach the same point within a few hundred or a few thousand years of each other, within a few light years of each other in the same universe? And it just seemed completely, utterly unbelievable. Well, the great cosmological idea at the end of this book explains that very fact. But to be honest, it's so laughable. I literally, when I read it, I was just like, you can't be serious. I was actually just giggling as I read it because it's so preposterous. But it does answer this plot question, this plot hole that I thought was there. As science fiction books go, it's not a bad science fiction book. As First Contact books go, like I say, Werner Winger's Deepness in the Sky and his Fire Upon the Deep or whatever it is, those books just completely blow this out of the water. Of course, Deepness in the Sky has pretty much got the same kind of plot and the same themes as this book. Again, like humans approach an alien planet which is in around about the same kind of society, just developing technology, and there's a long time war going on the planet, and the humans are aware of the people, and then the aliens, and the aliens aren't aware of the humans that come along, and then there's trouble on the human spaceship. Again, all of that is covered much, much better in the book Deepness in the Sky, so definitely check that book out, because it's about 20 times as good and about 100 times as satisfying as this book. So this book still does get around about, I'd say, 3 stars out of 5, which means it's pretty good. Pick up a copy if you find it. And actually, just when I was doing this, I looked in the front of this book. I can't remember actually where I got it, because I got it a while ago. And it's signed by the author, Ken MacLeod. Don't know if that makes the book any more valuable. Maybe it makes it a 4-star book. I don't know. Anyway, next episode, I'll be reviewing a book called Singularity Sky by Charles Stross. A friend of mine actually recommended one of his books last year, so I found this at the Another Country bookshop around the corner a while ago, so I snapped it up. I've actually already read it, so I know what's going to happen. I've been ill over the past week. I've had tonsillitis, so I've not been able to say more than 2 words in a row without coughing, and it's been painful to talk. So I've actually done more reading and no podcasts as well. But that's Charles Stross. So I've read that book. I've not actually read any of his books before. There's actually fiction that you can find of his online that you can download or just read online, but I never read stuff sitting at my computer because I get distracted by checking emails and stuff like that. Email me with any books that you want me to read. Someone sent me an email saying that I should check out the Spider Robinson / Robert A. Heinlein book that was released recently called Variable Star. Well, I bought that in Hong Kong about a week and a half ago and read it on the plane back, so I enjoyed that one. I'll be reviewing that soon too. Finally, Arthur C. Clarke passed away this past week, and I do actually have a book of his called Glide Path laying next to the bed, sitting there, that I got a few weeks ago, of course, before he died. I've never read that book before, but I'll definitely be reviewing that one soon as well. So that's like 3 or 4 books that I've got lined up still to review in the future. So, like I say, email me, luke@juggler.net, with any feedback or any suggestions. I do listen and I do read them. So thanks for listening, and catch you later.